Today we are going to take a tour and look at some things around our building that are in need of repair. And Senator Atkinson has worked with staff to plan this little trip. We are planning to be back here in this room no later than 11:30. So, Senator Atkinson.
Well, the deadline, you know. Yeah. You're talking May.
Thank you very much. For the record, my name's Jason Atkinson, State Senator from Southern Oregon. I wanted to begin. We're going to go very quickly, but for me, in preparing everything that you're about to see, I wanted to first of all thank Marjorie and Krista for their help. They're going to provide you a couple of things here that I think you'll find very interesting, and they've done a lot of homework. Do you have that piece of paper, Marjorie?
Absolutely.
Go ahead and read that.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the first page after the agenda in your packet is a quick little summary of some research that Krista did for you, showing some other states and their recent renovations or renovations that they're going through right now. Again, this was all off the internet, just showing the approximate costs of some recent renovations, when they occurred, what the projects were, and a little bit about the funding. And we would be happy to do more in-depth research about that if there's a particular state that you want us to look for. And then the rest of the packet is something that we'll go through when we return as we start our very high elevation overview about legislator and public official compensation.
Thank you. The issue before us really is, how do other states take care of their state capital? And this has been a passion of mine for a long time, and actually has forged one of my favorite friendships in this building with the good Senate President over the very notion of, how do you leave this place better than you found it? And believe it or not, now I've been around here long enough, I must say that if I were to leave this tomorrow, I would not be leaving it better than I found it. And what we've done in Oregon for so long is we've accepted mediocrity as our standard, while other states that oftentimes around here we compare ourselves to as either greater than or less than do a tremendously better job of taking care of their grounds. It is, to my opinion, that this is the people's temple, and quite honestly, it is in such disrepair, you wouldn't have a garage sale look the way that our offices look. So I want to break down my comments into three areas. The first area is the obvious, and I don't want to spend time on it per se. The second one and the third one are both a tour. Now, I will say that I'm delighted to have the agency heads here that have the overseeing capability of what you're about to see. It is also my intent, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity, because over the years that I've been showing these things to people, members will look at me and go, yeah, you know, that's really terrible. But then I can't get any momentum to get them done. Mm-hmm. By having an entire committee go out and look together, I hope that Republican, Democrat, across this committee, we all feel a sense of shame about it and take action as quick as we can. Truly, honestly, it is up to this committee to set the tone on how we take care of the building. If this committee takes action today on some things that could get taken care of today, we can change the ethic of how the other 90 members of the legislative branch treat their institution. And that's why I'm hoping that we can see some progress out of us today on some things I'll point out to you that are so nonsensical you'll just shake your head. But in the meantime, with the added bonus of showing other legislators that, you know what, we're going to take care of the people's house. The three areas. The first area is the wings. I know we're going to talk about that at future dates, bonding. 4 years ago, I think Herb loaned me a piece of pipe that I brought on the Senate floor, and everybody laughed. It was a big joke. But you know what? I now have a four-year-old who's drinking out of those water fountains. It's disgusting. 2 years ago, I brought both of my grandmothers here for opening day. And you know what? I have to confess that our outside office building is a big embarrassment. It's ramshackle. It looks horrible. If you recall, last week we had some, I think it was Dave Henderson who was here, and I asked him, is there anything in statute that says that we have to have such small office spaces? Certainly, we can talk about that at another length, but we should be, as senators, representing twice the constituency of a House representative. We should have some office space. We should be able to talk on the phone. We should have some privacy, some meeting rooms, and quite honestly, we don't have it. In the second floor where we're at, we have ramshackle, garage sale, horrible waiting rooms, but with boxes that have pop stains on them, with the hum of a Pepsi machine humming. There is no other state building in our discretion that we pass budgets for that is as shoddy as the one that we call the People's Temple. That's the first episode. I don't want to leave that. What I do want to do is show you the next presentation is the old building, which I am passionate about, and then outside. So if you'll follow me, let's go to work.
Okay, we're off. Senator Atkinson has done an excellent job of showing us some things that need to be done. We have the legislative budget bill in our possession, 5522, and I understand there's also a bill that you were about to introduce or that would deal with the issue of whether or not our grounds ought to be a state park and whether parks should be given the responsibility. So we will be in our letter to Ways and Means when we send 5522 down there, we'll be making some decisions and some recommendations for some of the things that need to be done in this building, and also we'll be discussing what we want to do in terms of the grounds and what's the best way to handle that, whether it would be to turn it into a state park, which is if it's feasible, might be a way to do it. State parks a few years ago were really hurting for money, but since they got a chunk of the lottery, they're doing much better. And so we'd want to hear from them whether or not they think that's a reasonable idea. Many states have their grounds as a state park. That would certainly be not unprecedented. Senator Atkinson, any follow-up?
No, I really appreciate everyone coming. My point was just that we'd all see it. And I really think that we should look at this. I'm really afraid of a huge omnibus bill that requires 27 task forces and hearings and when we really know what the problems are. And, yes, the wings, that's a problem. The old building there's just a few things to make that old building shine. And then the outside. I would really like to see some of the agencies that oversee it or the legislative branch that oversees the old building make some changes that don't require a bill so that we can get all the other 90 members to take care of it. That's the ultimate goal, is to leave it better than you found it.
Mr. Chairman, may I add one thing to that comment?
Yes.
You mentioned the word, the term task force, and I've heard other people in the building mention it a number of times related to the wings project and the grounds projects, and the truth is we've done that. We've had task forces beyond anybody can imagine over the last couple decades on these issues. We've got a professional staff that knows what to do, that knows how to do it, that's working with the treasurer to get the bonding and do everything we need to do to get the project going. The only thing that's missing is our authorization for them to head down that route. We don't need any other consultation. We've got the professional people to do it. And so I think what you did today is a good jumping off point for all of us to just give them the authorization to do their jobs.
Okay, other comments from the committee? Those of you in the audience that went with us, would any of you like to speak to what you saw or comment at this time? If you would, please come forward. Anybody want to take that opportunity? I guess not. Not seeing anybody budging. Yes, Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The image that we portray is important, and I think that's what Senator Atkinson was showing us this morning. The inside of the building, the mechanical, electrical, will we have an opportunity to be presented that information in terms of the driving need? You did mention the water pipes in your first comments, but to me, that's the catalyst that will drive this discussion, are those mechanical,
yes,
electrical systems.
And we will have that opportunity, and hopefully we'll get some numbers, too, so that when we send our bill down to Ways and Means, we will have specific recommendations with specific costs included.
Sure.
Senator Atkinson.
Senator Morris, one of the most interesting things I did as it relates to the love of the old building was 6 years ago. I put on a hard hat and took off with Herb, and we went all over the place. We went in the light ballasts. We looked at the old elevator wheel shafts, and looked at the plumbing and the electrical and all that. And I believe that Dave has got outlines of or blueprints of some of the suggested layouts of the wings and some of the plumbing and whatnot. I wish every member felt as strongly about it as this committee does. Because that's really, I can't urge you enough, I don't want this to be a balance sheet thing that we sign off and say, okay, we're going to author it. I want people to invest in the details of making it look nice. There's no reason that outside needs to look that way. There's no reason for us to accept brass that hasn't been polished in 45 years. That should be done now.
Okay. Anything further? Okay, Marjorie, the other item on our agenda for today is to begin our discussions on elected officials' salaries. So why don't you...
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is an extremely high elevation overview of information that we've gathered over the past year on legislator compensation. So I'll just run through the documents that are in your packet at your desk, and then if you have additional questions about these specific materials, I can try to answer those. But I think the plan is that we continue the discussion on elected officials' compensation next week and in subsequent weeks. So again, this is just setting a background. First of all, you have an article from the February 2000 edition of State News magazine, which is published by CSG, and this is just a five-page summary of a longer article that's a longitudinal study, a 30-year longitudinal study of legislator salaries across the country, and what you'll see is that in 2005 dollars, 28 states, their legislator compensation has decreased, including Oregon, and you'll see that we're almost 17% behind where we could be. So, again, if you want to see the long version of this article, I have a copy of it, but, again, this is a quick summary. I've also provided you with the statutes related to salaries for the governor, secretary of state, treasurer, AG, superintendent, Boley, and all of the judges. You'll see that their salaries are currently set in statute. The governor has a salary of a little over $93,000 a year with $1,000 a month in expenses. And other statewide elected officials are generally at $72,000 a year. And the Supreme Court judges and other judges are ranging somewhere between $95,000 and $107,000 a year. And again, it's all set in statute. I've also provided you a compensation history for legislators. This document was prepared by Legislative Administration, and it just gives you a history since 1971 of the monthly salary of Oregon legislators, their per diem, expense allowance, and interim staff allowance. Also from Legislative Administration, you have a set of four documents that summarizes the salaries and expenses for the 74th session and also last interim. It's not next interim, but last interim, showing your salary, per diem, mileage, and other allocations. I've provided you a list of bills that have been introduced since 1995 related to adjustments to legislator compensation and that of circuit court judges, to which legislator salary is currently tied. I just wanted you to see some of the bills that have been introduced and what the effect of those bills would have been over the past several years. I've also provided some colorful graphs for you to take a peek at. Again, this is not necessarily tied to legislator compensation, but I want you to see some of the data and how the Legislative Assembly has changed over time. These graphs were derived from data from Oregon Blue Books. Again, legislators self-report in those Blue Books, but I gathered birth years, occupations, and the numbers of sessions served through the Blue Books, and you'll see that over time, the Legislative Assembly is trending so that we now have more legislators who are in the advanced career or retired stage of life as opposed to the early career or mid-career.
Advanced stage of life.
And that there's been an increase in the number of quote-unquote legislators and small business owners as their primary occupation as opposed to those who have a law-related occupation or are involved in ag and livestock. So again, this isn't necessarily tied to compensation, but it does show you how the body is changing and has changed over time. I've also provided you with two other tables. Again, copious amounts of data, but just different ways to look at the way that legislators are compensated. We're looking at the population of Oregon and all other states, and also the geographic size of Oregon and the number of constituents per district. I think it's interesting for you to note how many members per district and compared to other states. This is a little skewed in that the majority of Oregon's population is in a very small part geographically of the state, but it kind of gives you an idea of how vast some of these districts could be. And the final table, I created this using information from CSG and NCSL, again comparing all states, all legislator salaries, per diems, the method of setting salaries, whether it's in the Constitution, by commission, or in statute, and how busy their legislatures are, whether it's an annual session and whether they're full-time or part-time or what sort of responsibility they have, and also the length of their session. So again, just trying to compare and contrast Oregon to everybody else and your salaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Are there questions for Marjorie?
I have one.
Yes.
Marjorie,
okay.
What are we considered?
In
part-time? Full-time?
You are considered a hybrid, and there are 22 states that are this hybrid where you're kind of full-time, kind of part-time, kind of professional, kind of citizen. It's just...
Camels.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When the president said, you're not going home Monday through Friday, it's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. But because that full-time job is generally 6 or 8 months out of a 24-month period.
It's, yeah.
Senator Morse served on the commission whose recommendations are before us. Senator Morse, would you comment on what the recommendation is from the commission?
With respect
to salaries of elected officials in this state and judges.
Well, as I recall, the discussion and the recommendations from the Public Commission on the legislature was that we focus more on a process than we do on specific salaries, and that that process would be one that would engage and be heavily tilted towards the lay people in the state of Oregon to make those determinations. It was very important, I remember in the discussions, that we have professional guidance for what would become really an active commission on public compensation, that you have professionals that know how to do benchmarking and do surveys and then would be a resource to persons chosen by lottery. Actually, the majority of the commission would be chosen by lottery. So it would be totally balanced in terms of the representing the people of Oregon, not those of us that are in positions of legislative authority or executive authority making decisions about compensation. So it's about as, like, maybe the word is egalitarian as you could possibly make it. And an objective way of establishing compensation.
Okay.
Now, did I capture that, Marjorie?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Marjorie's our resident expert, by the way.
Yes. Questions for Senator Morse? Senator Atchison?
Senator Morse, I do not and have not belonged to NCSL. but I know that NCSL, I don't know how, that's my question, they have got some sort of influence upon per diem and salary in this building. Can you explain how that works?
Well, I really can't.
Mr. Chair?
I don't know.
Years ago, I guess several years ago, when our per diem was, I think it went up $2 or something, and maybe I was told wrong, that, well, this is the index that we use is provided to us by NCSL.
I think it's based on some national cost of living kind of criteria.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, that the per diem rate is based on the national reimbursement rate for the area, and the Salem area is this year is that figure that we have for per diem.
And during the interim, when we sometimes are paid mileage, that's a national number too, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's about all right.
What we're going to do is we'll hold a public hearing on this next week, right?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee has been assigned the Public Commission recommendation, which is revamping the Public Officials Compensation Commission, and then also a legislative referral that would give that commission the authority to set the salary for elected officials in the state, and then that salary be in effect without legislative action. So we can have hearings on those.
But also, this kind of change would be constitutional, is that correct?
That's
it would
correct.
Require a public vote.
Yes, the resolution that we would consider.
So one of the reasons we're taking this up early is because if the committee wanted to, and if there is in fact an election, in a general statewide election this May, and there may be, there's other issues that may end up on the ballot, that if we wanted to, we could include our recommendations here, on the May ballot, and that way it could potentially take effect for the 2008 year, calendar year. Otherwise, it wouldn't go to the ballot until 2008 and would not be able to take effect until 2009. Because it's constitutional in nature, it does require a public vote. It's my intent, and I've talked to Senator Morris about this, and we're in agreement, that we should never ask any elected official to vote on their own salary. And so having a public commission that studies, analyzes, and makes recommendations, and having those recommendations take effect, except for action by the body to reduce or overturn those recommendations, seems to be a wiser way to do this. We also have heard, of course, from our judicial friends that judges' salaries in this state are among the lowest in the, I think maybe they are the lowest in the nation, certainly one of the lowest, that we do not compensate our judges nearly as well as any other state, and that goes from the Supreme Court right on down to Circuit Court. So having this commission also look at judicial salaries and make recommendations there makes sense as well. So that's kind of the overall plan. And if members are objecting to that plan, please speak up or let me know. Otherwise, that's the plan of this committee would be that next week we'll be holding hearings and then taking possible action when, Marjorie? February.
By the end of February.
Last meeting of February, something like that. Senator Morris?
Mr. Chair, when is the deadline if we were to advance something to a May primary or a May election, when is the last deadline for a committee action to just physically move it through both sides of the Assembly and get it?
It has to be to the Secretary of State by mid-March.
Right.
So you can do the math. Not very much time. If we act this month and send it to the House very quickly, and they take immediate action, it's possible. But it's really going to be pushing things to accomplish that. We want to make sure what we do is right. The recommendations of the commission that Senator Morse sat on are sound and provide a good framework for our action. But we still want to, you know, obviously hear from the public. Anything further? Marjorie, anything further?
No.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. This meeting's adjourned.